It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Happy Monday to you. Happy college playoff football day to you. Do you have a team, Steve? Are you LSU or are you Clemson?
Well, you know, I guess I get a little bit too absorbed in the NFL, and I've got it backwards. I should be much more absorbed in the college level. But you got to admit, it is interesting. Two teams whose mascot are the Tigers, so they're calling this the Tiger Bowl. It doesn't get any better than this, and both undefeated, too.
Oh, it's pretty darn cool. I have a lot of friends that are LSU fans, went to LSU, so I think I'm going to be an LSU girl. And on that note, you know I'm a Kansas girl as well, since the Broncos are not in the headed towards the playoffs, Kansas City is my team, and can you believe what they did yesterday?
I'm stunned. We went out to dinner last night with some other people, and we were both kind of sharing how we looked at that. In the Sunday afternoon, I usually take a post-church nap because I spend so much time there on a Sunday. And when I turned it off, it was 21-0. Second quarter had just started. I couldn't really sleep. So after about, 45 minutes, I turned it back on. And all of a sudden, it's 28 to 24, I think, at that point. And then they just kept right on going.
Yeah, 51 points. That's unbelievable. So go Chiefs. Okay. Very excited to have in studio with me businessman and founder of Conservative Daily, Joe Otto. Joe, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
I'm excited to talk with you about Conservative Daily. You're basically getting news of Washington and Congress out to people so that we know what's going on.
Yeah, we have a team of people that works on specific things that are happening in the news on a daily basis, and then they write information on those and let the let our members know what's happening.
So there's a lot going on, and it's good. Fasten your seatbelt. So, Joe, great to have you here. And we're going to be going through some of the headlines. As you know, we look at all these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. We continue to see this romance of Bernie and Elizabeth Warren and this romancing the narrative of socialism. And you can vote yourself into socialism, Joe, but it's pretty tough to get back out of it.
Well, there's a saying that sometimes what feels good doesn't necessarily do good. And I think that's the case with socialism. Is people want to feel like everyone, you know, the heart of what they say is they want people not to suffer, right? And so it just comes down to I have a couple of people that work for me that love Bernie Sanders. And I always ask them, I was like, hey, look, I'm going to take about 30% more of your paycheck. I'm going to give it away. What do you think? And they're like, no. And I go, that really is what you're saying. You're saying that you're working for, you know, subsidizing someone else in their environment to have the same lifestyle you have.
Has that changed their mind regarding Bernie yet or not?
Yeah. So one of the people that actually in my company that has been there for the last 8 years or has been with me for 8 years now can't. So I got him to shoot a gun. Once I got him to shoot a gun, then things started to change in his mind because he thought the gun was an evil object. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So once he shot a gun, he started going back and shooting guns and learning more about guns. That kind of changed his mind if the gun's not bad, then what about all these other things that I believed?
Interesting.
And so we would sit down in the morning and have these long discussions about, you know, what's really happening in the world. And finally he came to me and goes, I don't know if I could support Bernie Sanders anymore. And I was like,
success.
I have converted one.
One at a
of
time.
Many, that's right.
One at a time. But, you know, Joe, I think what you are just describing is what we think is so important, and that is that we have these reasonable, honest conversations, but that means that we need to understand these issues. And that is why we do this show, is to bring forth these issues. Because socialism ultimately comes down to force. It is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or their freedom via force, whether it's with a weapon. And we don't really see that happening in America today, but policy. And Steve, as you always mention, unpredictable and excessive taxation, that is a different way to take people's rights, is through policy or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And we're continuing to see this in transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, healthcare, data. And it is never compassionate to do that, Steve.
No, the last of the three is my favorite, and I don't
or unfavorite.
Yeah, I don't mean that in a good way. As you know, off air, I've explained this to you before, and you usually think it's a good way of thinking about it. My stage in life, I'm not that far away from retirement, and yes, I've done.
No, you're not retiring.
No, okay, but in terms of financial planning and everything, I like to think I'm fairly well set, but. Unreasonable taxation is still a threat.
Right. They can change things. I mean, you can see, I was thinking about it this morning, early this morning, about how property taxes, increasing property taxes on people that have planned, like you say, for a long time for their retirement, but people that might be on fixed incomes. I'm thinking about, you know, the gentrification of, say, the Five Points area. There's people there that have their homes. And the taxes are pushing them out of their homes. And so that unpredictable and excessive taxation is very real and very important.
And then there's the sneaky ways they get you. And sit down, and you everyone who owns a vehicle, a conventional gas vehicle, knows how much they put in a month's time. Figure out what your state sales or your state gas tax and your federal gas tax was. And, you know, add that up. Take it out, extrapolate that for an entire year. That's another little gotcha.
Well, and speaking of that, if you're out in California, the fuel costs are almost double of what they are here in Colorado. And it's all because of taxes and rules and regulations, but it's you know, the gas taxes. And so they are really, they're in a way, they're using subtle force to try to get people out of their vehicles. But as we jump into all this, it's Monday morning. Steve, thank you to you. Thank you to our team, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. Appreciate all your hard work. And thank you to each of you listeners. Each of you are treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence. Take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. Podcast of the show can be found there. And we are doing a reschedule. We had talked about doing our event with Helen Raleigh tonight, her and Dr. Paul Prentice, on the punches. To punch back on democratic socialism. And we are going to reschedule that for sometime in March. Things have gotten very jammed up with the Stand for Colorado rally that we did last week and then coming off the holidays. So we are going to reschedule that for March, and that'll be very, very good. Since this is college football championship day, Clemson versus LSU, for our quote inspiration of the day, I went to Knut Rockne. And Knut Rockne was a Norwegian-American football player and coach at the University of Notre Dame. He's regarded as one of the greatest coaches in college football history. His biography at the College Football Hall of Fame identifies him as, without question, American football's most renowned coach. Rockne helped to popularize the forward pass and made the Notre Dame Fighting Irish a major factor in college football. He died at the age of 43. He was born in 1888. He died in 1931 in a plane crash. He was headed from Kansas City, was going to Los Angeles, I think, to work on a movie. And they went down in foggy weather. And this is his quote today. He said, "Yes, I know that you feel you are not strong enough. That's what the enemy thinks, too. But we're going to fool him." And I think with what's going on in Colorado out here, it seems a little daunting as we have seen this new legislative session convened last Wednesday and just already the things coming down the pike. It seems a bit daunting. And sometimes I think we don't feel strong enough, but you know what? We're going to fool them. So on that, Steve, I have one joke today, and I hope you like it. Are you ready?
I can't wait.
Okay. Did you know the reason that women don't play football is that 11 of them would never wear the same outfit in public? Like that one?
And then there's the shoes and the matching handbag thing, too.
That's right. Okay, first thing I'd like to talk about, and that is we had on the KLZ Facebook page, and I really do appreciate this, that we had heard from one of our listeners. Glenn had said, Kim, a reasonable, we were talking, I think it was when we were talking with Natalie Minton last week about TABOR, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, which basically says to PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, says, hey, we just expect some good manners. We just expect you to ask for our consent if you want to raise our taxes, if you want to incur debt that we have to pay off, or if you want to keep our TABOR tax refunds. But another thing, Joe, I don't know if you've heard this with your ear to the ground, but there is talk of trying to move Colorado. You know, we have a fair and basically, you know, across the board, same income tax for everyone. It's been 4.63%. I think it's actually going to be 4.5% because of TABOR tax refunds. But we're starting to hear some talk about a potential progressive income tax.
Yes.
And so we talked about it last week. So Glenn wrote, he says, Kim, a reasonable progressive income tax is not unreasonable. Someone with $400,000 in income has significant more disposable income. If that individual paid 3 to 4% more in income tax, that would not sincerely reduce their disposable income. This is just a simple example. I could see a progressive tax based on the differential of the CEO over the common employee. The problem with that is as you start to penalize people for taking risks and becoming more successful, we want to make sure that we're fair. So if, in fact, you have someone that's making, in our example, it had been $100,000 at 4.5%, their taxes would be $4,500. But if you had someone that was making, in this case, $400,000, that would be, they would pay $18,000. So they already are paying significantly more. The fact that what a progressive income tax does is it's based on envy. As you can see here, it's instead of looking at something that's fair, they're looking at somebody else and saying they have more disposable income. Instead of trying to penalize people for that, in America, the idea is if they can do it, I can do it. So why should we penalize people for working hard, maybe putting in extra hours, taking risk, and becoming successful? Because the people that take risks are not successful. Do we all want to make sure that all the rest of us have to pay for that as well? Joe, your comment.
Yeah. So it gets if you're going to penalize me for going out there and creating opportunity for other people, then I'll just stop going out there and creating opportunity for other people. It doesn't benefit me to actually pay more taxes. I mean, in other words, I'm willing to pay my fair share. But why should you take more of what I have because I work? Maybe I work harder than the average person. Maybe I work more hours. So now you're saying that I'm going to charge you more taxes on your income because you make more, so you can contribute more, but I still want you to work as hard as you're doing so you can contribute to somebody else's
right.
Success. I think the whole idea is absolutely it's crazy. But if you were to ask me 10 years ago if we were going to face some of the things we're facing today, I would have told you it's not even possible.
I'm the same way. And we're going to go to break here in just a moment. But I brought a copy of the Communist Manifesto. It's not really that long, but man, this little book has done a lot of bad stuff. But on page 75, and when I went to buy this book, Steve, I can't remember if I told you this story. I was back in Lawrence, you know, where the University of Kansas is located, and I went into a secondhand bookstore because I thought, if I'm going to understand these things, I need to read them. So I went in and I asked for a copy of the Communist Manifesto.
They had it readily available?
They had it as I asked for it, I thought, oh my gosh, I said, but I'm a capitalist, I'm a free market girl, I just want it for research, but I needed to make sure that they knew that, Steve.
The clerk made a phone call right after they told you where it was?
Yeah, that's right.
We have a recruit.
So you actually purchased that. That's not on loan from the governor's office.
No. Bada-boom. Okay. Okay. This is what it says. And I think you'll find this very interesting. Number one, it says these are some of the goals of the Communist Manifesto. Abolition of property and land and application of all rents of land to public purposes. Number two, a heavy, progressive, or graduated income tax. Number three, abolition of all right of inheritance. Those are just the top, the first three. But right there it says a heavy, progressive, or graduated income tax. That is one of the goals of the Communist Manifesto because it penalizes people for working hard, taking risks, and doing well. And as Joe just said, if, in fact, I'm going to be penalized for doing that, then I may not do that. And then that is why you have not seen out of communist countries the creativity and innovation like an iPhone, like an internal combustion engine, like a Amazon. You don't see that because there people are penalized for taking risks and coming up with new creative, innovative ideas.
And actually, the idea of a graduated income tax, I mean, if you just want to do the math, the tax code is very, very complicated, right? Mm-hmm. So the more you make, the more opportunity you have to study the tax code, have tax accountants and trust advisors show you how to not pay that income tax to begin with. So really, the people that get most affected by this graduated income tax is the middle class.
Well, and Patty and I were talking about that last night, and she said, remember when Steve Forbes had recommended just a flat tax across the board? This is how much you make. This is how much you send in. It's fair across the whole board because, as you just mentioned, big business and big government like each other because they can figure out ways. They have the resources, the accountants, the attorneys to figure out how to maybe not pay some of those taxes. And so that is why we need to be pushing back on this bigger and bigger government, because bigger government and big business like each other. Let's make sure that we have it fair across the board. You agree, Joe?
I do. I absolutely agree. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I've always bothered me about Polis when he came in is that he had an opportunity to, I think, walk softly and kind of, you know, see what is happening on the landscape in Colorado. But he hasn't done that. He almost, out of a playbook of California, just walked in and said, hey, we're going to adapt everything that's going on over there. Which, by the way, they're not doing so hot.
I know.
I mean, California is one of the highest taxed, it is the highest taxed state in the country. And look what's happening. They have a homeless population issue. They have a an infrastructure erosion issue. You almost can't live there. I mean, as far as the cost of living to live in that particular environment. So I don't know if, and they've taxed themselves to that point, by the way.
They have.
So, the more that people make, the thirst of the government just doesn't seem to, the thirst of
More government, more taxes. It's insatiable out there. And it seems to be happening here as well. So, Joe Otto, we're going to go to break here. Before we do it, though, it is NFL playoff time, and the place to watch all the games is at Hooters Restaurants. They have plenty of TVs, so you won't miss any action. You can join them for the big game, and you'll be entered for a chance to win a 55-inch HD TV. They have these new roasted wings that you can try while you're watching the Avs and the Nuggets. And they have Xfinity, so you actually get to see the games there. Wednesday is Dine-In Wing Day, all the wings you can eat for $15.99. You don't want to cook, particularly tonight when the college football championships are on. You can have Hooters wings delivered right to your front door. For more information, check out my website, kimmunson.com. Check out all the sponsors there. They all have landing pages. We're going to go to break. We have Joe Otto in studio. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, thrilled to have in studio with me businessman and founder of Conservative Daily, and that is Joe Otto. We'll be talking about a couple of really important pieces that you just recently published, Joe. Before we do that, though, Patty had found number one on our state articles. She said, this is very interesting that we didn't hear about this when people were discussing Polis's State of the State address. But the day after his State of the State address, he came out and said that he is supporting legislation which is allowing collective bargaining for state employees. He said, Colorado Winds, which is a union that represents more than 30,000 state employees, announced the legislation at a press conference Friday, along with Polis, Senate President Leroy Garcia, and Representative Dania Escar of Pueblo. He says, making sure that our state employees have what they need to succeed, to provide services and do a great job, is an important part of the state meeting its commitment to taxpayers. Let's dissect this just a little bit. Even FDR, who was a progressive president, came out and said that it would not be a good thing if government employees could unionize. And the reason is so you have employees that are paid by the taxpayer, that they can actually organize and go to legislators or leaders there and ask them for more money, and so they can actually kind of work both sides of the system. They are going to the legislature to advocate to be paid more, and they're being paid more. They're being paid out of taxpayers' dollars. Taxpayers' dollars are being used. I'm trying to get to my roundabout here. Taxpayers' dollars are being used in a way against them, because then these same government employees are advocating to take more money from the taxpayers. And I tell you what, Joe, a lot of mom-and-pop businesses, a lot of restaurants out there, particularly with the forced minimum wage, the potential forced paid family leave act, they are getting squeezed. Property taxes, they are really getting squeezed. And they don't have any taxpayer-funded entity out there that's going to backfill for them.
No, they don't have the unlimited checkbook. Right. And, you know, I have lots of friends that are in the SMB space, small to medium business space. And it's predicted in 2020 in Colorado, we're going to see somewhere between 18% and 20% of the restaurants close because of the forced minimum wage. Right.
Really?
So, yeah. So the small businesses hit by the increase in cost for rent factors, hit an increase of cost for unemployment, and they have to carry the burden of all these different increases that happen in government. Government thinks that everyone else has to apply by the same rules that they have to apply by. They'll just raise their prices. Well, if they raise their prices, everyone just stops coming.
Right.
So only the companies that have the ability, the big businesses that have the ability to negotiate for better pricing from the suppliers, have an opportunity to be successful. So you're going to see a lot of these small businesses, you know, raise prices to the point where people stop coming to the restaurants, and then they have to pay their workers 30 to 35% more is paid to the employees this year than it was last year. And some of these owners, by the way, aren't even taking a paycheck.
And so to your point, at some point in time, they're going to say, why should I continue
why
to
should
do
I continue
this?
To do it?
So let's think about what's going to happen then, Joe. So then these businesses go out of business. They're no longer paying sales tax, which a lot of these municipalities live off of sales tax. And then they're no longer using their businesses, property tax. You're going to start to see people move out of the state, I think. You're going to start to see a contraction.
Well, it's already happening. I mean, the amount of people moving to Colorado is actually retracting. I think 2019 was slowed by 30-35% from the previous year.
Okay.
So we're already seeing a retraction of people moving here. Now, part of that had to do with the fact that they legalized marijuana in other states. So at least there was other places that they could go to if they wanted to, you know,
imbibe in that. Yeah. Okay. But I really see these policies. And I was thinking on the way in about sustainability. I had been talking with somebody last week, somebody on the, I'd say, the more conservative side, if you will. And he said, Kim, you know, government will always grow. And I thought about it, Joe, and it's like, at some point in time, it'll break. And that is why we have to fight so hard to bring government back into within the boundaries of the jobs that it's supposed to do, because it's not sustainable. People care about sustainability. This is not sustainable to do this.
No, it's not. But a divided society is a weak society. And you're seeing a lot of propaganda and things pushed out. You know, social media has actually created the largest chasm, because we become single issue focused, mm-hmm. right? And so if we really look at what's happening in the market right now, I think we're, and I'm going to say this, and I say this, you know, I've said this in some of the things that we put on Conservative Daily, we are closer to a civil war today than I think we were in when we had a civil war in the 1800s.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's pretty scary.
Well, look at what happened in Virginia. 250,000 people signed up for militias in less than a 45-day period of time over the threat to take their Second Amendment rights.
We're going to have to talk about that when we come back in the third segment. We have on the line with us, before we do that, Jason McBride. Jason, happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday to you guys.
Boy, on that note, I kind of took my breath away, Jason, but let's jump in here. There's a new law that we think is pretty good, right? And that is this whole Secure Act. And this week when you call in, we're going to dig a little deeper into the Secure Act, what it will mean for everyday people in real life. So one thing that's changing is when we have to take our first withdrawal from IRA accounts, right?
Yeah, that's right, Kim. One provision of that act that will apply to a lot of people is the age at which you must begin taking the mandatory distributions out of your IRA accounts. It used to be age 70 and a half. Starting this year, 2020, it's now been moved up to age 72. I kind of like a round number better than the 70 and a half thing. It's easier to figure out.
You know, where did they come up with that stuff? So, anyway.
They were arguing. That's what happened. Somebody was arguing that it should be 70, and the other one was arguing it should be 71, and they just decided to split the middle so both of the crybabies in the government could be happy.
Okay. So if someone aged 70 and a half in 2019, do they get to skip a year or two until they turn 72, or can they stop that required distribution?
No, they won't let you do that, Kim. The change only applies to people who turned 70 and a half after December 31st, 2019. Anybody that turned 70 and a half in 2019 still has to take their RMDs as they would have prior to the new law going into effect.
Okay, so question, Jason. Is getting to delay that RMD for a year and a half going to change things for most people? Is it really a big deal?
You know, Kim, it's not a huge deal, but it could be helpful, let's say tax-wise, for somebody that has a large IRA, and they still want to work past age 70 and a half, so they wouldn't have the problem of already having income from their job, plus the income from the large RMD they would have to take, pushing them up into a higher tax bracket. At least they could get rid of that problem for a year or two. So it could help them out a little bit.
Okay, well, that's true, but they wouldn't be punished tax-wise for gainful employment, at least not by their own IRA. But does this affect the Roth IRAs or any of the planning in that regard?
Well, it could, Kim. For those that want to do Roth conversions and spread them out over a few years, this can give them another year or two of breathing room.
Okay, that's interesting, but how?
Well, the rules clearly state that you can't convert your required minimum distribution. You can't escape the taxes on it by converting it. It has to come out first before you can do any conversions to Roth. So, Kim, let's say, for example, someone who was age 70 and a half has determined they can add another $30,000 to their income without pushing up into a higher bracket. So they'd like to convert $30,000 from their IRA to the Roth. But if their required minimum distribution is $10,000, they'd have to take that out first. It can't go to the Roth. So that only leaves them with about $20,000 worth of room to actually convert.
Okay, so that makes sense. So under the new law, that person age 70 and a half or even 71 doesn't have that $10,000 to contend with. They could convert the desired $30,000. Then over a couple of years, that extra $10,000 into the Roth twice could make a difference later down the road.
That's right. Exactly right. They have the freedom to convert more for a couple of years because they're not forced to take the RMD out.
Well done, Jason McBride. Freedom versus force. That's great. And you have a report available that goes over some of these Secure Act provisions.
Yeah, it doesn't go over every single one, but it goes over some of the big ones that are probably likely to affect the most people. Just go to airpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com. You could download your free report there, Kim.
Jason, you and your colleagues over at Presidential Wealth Management, this is such great information. I greatly appreciate it and would highly recommend, again, go to airpresidential.com, and Jason can help you out with that report. Jason, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
You bet. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I cannot wait to have this conversation with Joe Otto, founder of Conservative Daily and also a successful businessman. We will be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, thrilled to have in studio with me Joe Otto. He is a successful businessman and also the founder of Conservative Daily. Joe, tell me a little bit about Conservative Daily.
We started Conservative Daily 11 years ago, and one of the reasons why we did is because we didn't see, you know, originally I had this idea that we would start consolidating different conservative voices into a place where it would have more strength, right? We could combine almost like a co-op of sorts. And, you know, I started going to other conservative groups, and they're like, yeah, you can come work for us. And I was like, I don't really want to work for anybody. I just thought we would just come together and kumbaya a little bit and work on having a little bit more strength in our causes. And so but some of the big issues that I thought we were facing is, one, I am pro-life 100%. And so we've kind of kicked the can down the road and on the pro-life issue, and we've kind of let that simmer. And so this, you know, pro-choice is all about giving women back their, you know, rights to their body. And so I saw that wasn't being addressed nationally very well.
So you're pro-life or pro-choice?
I'm pro-life.
Okay.
100% pro-life.
Okay.
And then the Second Amendment issue, and then you had President Obama coming in and saying, hey, you know, you're going to be able to keep your health care. Then you had the ACA, which, you know, I read the entire ACA. It's like watching paint dry.
You and Jill Vecchio. Oh, my gosh, you two.
Unbelievable. And so we used to do stories all the time about, hey, did you know? Did you know that, you know, you're going to see an increase in your healthcare cost exponentially over the next 10 years of 20 to 30% a year. And people would push back on me. So now we're a group of about 700,000 people.
Wow.
Across the nation. We do a lot of guerrilla type of advocacy. So we're one of the larger advocacy groups in the country. And so we fax Congress, we make phone calls to Congress, we send letters to Congress. We organize events, we sponsor events, so we'll actually give organizations funding. And we do this in such a way to try and say what the ultimate goal is, to make progress and or create a backstop to where we can stop these politicians from just doing whatever they want. They act with impunity. And frankly, we don't
seeing that in Colorado big time. Oh, my gosh.
And we just don't attack Democrats. I mean, we call out Republicans quite often, actually. So, you know, for us, hey, let's just be that single line that, hey, here's the ethical line we think we should actually follow, right? And we'll stay within those boundaries. And if we have people that, you know, are supposed to represent our interests being conservatives, and they get outside those lines, then we should try to replace them as well. Mm-hmm. But we've created an establishment. You know, Trump came out and said that there's this deep state that exists in our government. And the deep state is not just Democrats.
No.
The deep state is people in power that do not want to, that are benefiting from keeping the people in the U.S. in the dark, right? And so you get someone that comes in like President Trump, and he starts, you know, rattling cages, and they're like, wait, our establishment is becomes weaker, mm-hmm. right? So the American people win when President Trump comes out and says, hey, listen, we're gonna expose everything. I mean, he talks about the deep state and the fact that people are attacking. People say, well, there must be something to it. Actually, the something to it is that these people have worked. They have worked together behind the scenes in order to fatten themselves, to create more opportunity for themselves, not for the American people.
Well, and that's for sure. I wanted to mention a couple of things that you had started off with, and that is, first of all, the word conservative. You know, for many years, it's been demonized as, you know, people that are trying to judge other people and tell them what, I mean, just all those. What conservative means is conserving that American idea that, you know, those things embodied in the Declaration of Independence of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, conserving those things. I mean, when you talk about conserving energy or conserving blah, 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 all these other things, people think, oh, that's a good idea, but conservatives has gotten a bad name. I love the fact that in Conservative Daily, you have embraced that. The other thing you said, pro-life. As you probably know, Juliana Day is working diligently to get a due date too late piece of legislation, or actually a ballot initiative on this November, and that is it would make late-term abortions, anything after 22 weeks, illegal here in Colorado. I don't think a lot of people realize Colorado is one of the most aggressive abortion states in the nation. But on this, when we talk about the vision of the Declaration of Life, Liberty, and Pursuit of Happiness, then we as a society have to make sure that we are in support of the life of, you know, these little ones that have no voices other than us. So there are really, as a young person said to me, you know, women say, well, it's my body, my right. But this young person's response was, since when do you have two hearts? And two heartbeats. And so that is why this is such an important issue, is that we, from a policy standpoint, protect life. Comment on that?
Yeah. This hits me really close to home, right? So for a lot of reasons, one of which is, here's something that you probably didn't know about me. My dad is black. My mom is white. My whole family's interracial. And so I get to look into the minority communities and what abortion does to destroy the fiber of those communities. And so from one standpoint, they say, hey, I want to give you the right to choose. And I've seen many conservatives say, look, I don't want to take, I'm pro-life, but I don't want to take away someone else's ability to choose. Mm-hmm. Right. So that kind of straw man argument. Mm-hmm. And I would say that the reality of it is when people go into a Planned Parenthood or go into these clinics, they're not given a choice. I mean, to them, it's the choice that they are sold is an abortion.
Yes.
Right. And nobody gets the facts. I mean, people want to use this propaganda in order to create an argument that, hey, it's just a bunch of cells. But when is the last time that a bunch of cells got together and decided to have a heartbeat? So when you have a heartbeat, it's not just cells at that point. It's not. It's a living human. It's a person.
And we have seen, you know, the younger generation is becoming more and more pro-life because they have seen the ultrasound picture of their little brother or sister, you know, up on the refrigerator. And I think what you're indicating here is all the information. And most women, when they realize, once they've seen an ultrasound, once they have seen that, you know, I think it's like 90% of them say no to abortion. And that is what is so frustrating, is that actually when doing an abortion, there is an ultrasound that is done. But the mom is not shown that. And so, you know, when we're not dealing with things honestly, it's a big red flag, no pun intended.
Well, and if... Why? Why does Planned Parenthood want to fight against doing an ultrasound? Why? Why do they say? Why do they not give the woman that comes in for an abortion? Why do they not give her the opportunity to hear that heartbeat? Why?
I think it's about money.
It's about money, but you know, if you go back to the, if you go back in time and look at Sanger, right, mm-hmm. and the reason why you know, the Planned Parenthood was created. It was not to help minority communities. It was to weaken them.
And it has. It truly has. Margaret Sanger was the founder of Planned Parenthood. It's interesting what you just said, that that your father was black, your mother was white, mm-hmm. and so you really do have a view into to something that most people don't understand in America.
I do. And actually, by the way, everyone in my family supports Donald Trump for president.
Really?
Everyone.
On both sides?
On both sides. Absolutely. 100%.
Okay, well, tell me about that. So, Donald Trump, you obviously then were a supporter early on for him.
100%. Huh? And actually, we knew he was going to win in 2016. And the reason why we knew is that the sentiment value was too high. I mean, you'd have Hillary Clinton that walks in and sits down and has an event, and 500 people show up, and they concentrate on that 500 people, make it look like a lot of people. You know, President Trump has a rally, and 50,000 people show up. Right. And then you had the media bias that created the, oh, these are all a bunch of right wing nuts. These are not right wing nuts, and they are not all white. Like, my whole family supports President Trump, and a vast majority of my family is black.
That is so interesting. Now, on Thursday, we're going to have Reverend C.L. Bryant on. He is a black conservative, and he, like you, is making the case for Trump. Do you think Trump will win again?
100% I think he'll win. Yeah. Actually, I don't want to be kind of like that video that says Donald Trump will never be president. Donald Trump will be president in 2020.
Okay, strategy that I hear, Joe Otto, is that I think the Dems realize that as well. I think that's one of the reasons why you have this whole impeachment thing going on. But what they're going to try to do is to pick off senators so that the Dems can take over the Senate in effect, neutralize any of the good things that he's been doing. So that's why Cory Gardner is really in the crosshairs about this. And so the Senate is really important. What's your thoughts on that, Joe?
Well, this is going to be unpopular or popular, depending on which side of the fence you're on. But Cory Gardner has not done himself any favors. He has not stayed very visible in Colorado, right? He hasn't taken a whole lot of stances for Colorado in Washington, and so he hasn't been very very visible. I mean, we've had conversations about, okay, how does Cory Gardner feel about certain issues related to abortion, Second Amendment, mm-hmm. right? And he's either stayed silent and or tried to walk that fence, you know, trying to appease both sides of the constituency. And I think that's a dangerous game. So I think that he's definitely weakened his ability to get reelected.
Okay.
But then that leaves another opening for us in whether or not, you know, we end up electing another or replacing him with a Democratic candidate.
Well, and so I think it's very important. I think that, I mean, Colorado is a kind of a unique animal if you look at it from it was a difficult place for Donald Trump. We've had all these millennials move in, you know, as people put their finger up in the wind. I think that they've said to Cory, you kind of need to, you know, try to walk that fine line. I think at this point, Joe, I am convinced that we need leadership. We need people to go out and make the case, as we just are about live, make the case for why the Second Amendment is so important. Tell you what, let's go to break. I go to Conservative Daily, and there's two articles. I hope that we get to them. But one of those is that the UN is working to try to also take our firearms, our Second Amendment rights. And then there's a story that you had on there about a vet who is actually having his prosthetic legs repossessed. I mean, both of these are unbelievable. That's at Conservative Daily. I have in studio with me Joe Otto. He is the founder of Conservative Daily. We'll be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show, and happy Monday to all of you. I'm thrilled to have in studio with me Joe Otto. Joe, you are a successful businessman, and you founded Conservative Daily, what'd you say, 11 years ago?
11 years ago.
11 years ago. That was long before Donald Trump. That was a lot of stuff was going on in America. So how come did you do it?
I wanted to give people a voice. And by the way, I've never taken a dollar from Conservative Daily. I've used everything that people have contributed to Conservative Daily to help strengthen and create more opportunity for us to have a stronger voice. And you know, it's allowed us to grow over the last 11 years dramatically. But we're also a for-profit, not a nonprofit. And the reason why we did that is so that people could have a voice, but the government couldn't come in and attack them. So it's more like a news agency. They can't come in and say, hey, look, I want a list of all your donors.
Right? You know, I'm exactly the same way as many of you know. I purchased my airtime for both this show. I also have a show, America's Veteran Stories. And the reason that I do that is because I want to have full journalistic control of what we're doing. And nonprofit doesn't mean that they're not making a profit. They just don't have to pay taxes.
Right.
So they don't have to pay taxes off the top. So in essence, sometimes I think that they can pay. I mean, you see some of these heads of nonprofits that are making quite a bit of money. And so nonprofit doesn't mean that they're not making a profit. But it does mean that the government can come in and take a look at everything that you're doing. And so tell me, what should people do? Go to conservative. Let's see.
It's conservative-daily.com.
Okay. And
we knew we were having an effect, by the way, when other agencies, other news went out and actually purchased Conservative Daily type URLs.
You know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's conservative-daily.com. Let's go to this first story. This was, just yesterday. It's unbelievable. A disabled Vietnam and Iraq veteran is having his prosthetic legs repossessed. Tell me about this, Joe.
So it's Jerry Holloman. He's 69 years old, right? So he had a prosthetics vendor. It's called Hanger. Repossessed two of his limbs, not just one, but two. 2 days before Christmas, right? So we reached out, you know, one of our writers reached out to, and researchers reached out to the VA and tried to reach out to Holloman, which I think they got a hold of him yesterday after the story went out. So the VA said, well, it's actually a paperwork issue. So they literally let his prosthetics get repossessed because he didn't follow the right procedure. Right? And so when we went to the VA and asked them, hey, what do you have to say about this? They're like, oh, you know, because of HIPAA compliance, we can't actually comment on it. So then they stand behind the ability not to talk about what happened in this case. But the reality of it is 2 days before Christmas, they took a Vietnam veteran's prosthetics away. That happened.
Oh, my gosh.
And there, you can't give me a reason why you would take somebody's prosthetics away. So shame on the prosthetics company for not walking him through the process in order to make sure that the VA paid for his prosthetics. And, hey, you're on your own. Well, and then they said, well, you can actually go through another process and get those prosthetics through Medicaid. So then the VA came back and said, hey, it's a paperwork issue. We can't really comment on it. The second part is, hey, you could actually reach out to Medicaid and they could take care of it for you. Well, and Jerry said very clearly, Medicaid did not send me to Vietnam.
Good point.
Right? The U.S. government sent me to Vietnam. I fought for my country. Now you want me to wait in line? And this gets to universal health care and everything else. The people that the VA just doesn't care. Again, the government, as I see it, is not an evil empire, right? It's not a being, but it's a bunch of people that I think are self-entitled. These people have never worked in private enterprise. They've never started a business, 99% of them, right? And then people come to them for help, like the VA, and they're like, yeah, just go take a ticket.
Right.
Go take a ticket. We're not going to take care of that. Oh, you got your prosthetics repossessed? Oh, that's too bad.
Okay. So I think I'm thinking about when I go up I-225 and I look over and I see that very expensive VA hospital. And then I hear the story about Jerry. First of all, just the story is unbelievable. But I think most people are going to wonder where is he getting help? Is he going to get these back? I mean, what's happened after you've run this story in Conservative Daily?
Well, he did get his legs back. But we actually said that we'd pay for it. So I told one of our researchers to reach out and say, hey, if there's a bill to be paid, we'll pay it. Right? We'll pay your bill. I don't care how much it is. 10 grand, 20. I don't care how much it is. We'll pay whatever the bill is.
Okay. So it's gonna get taken care of.
It will get taken care of. But
But
one of the other things I want to know is, are the prosthetics the best prosthetics that he could have? Or did they just put, you know, sticks with cups on it and say, hey, here's all we're gonna pay for you.
Okay.
I think that if you served your country, you were injured, you should have the best available prosthetics available to you.
I think most Americans would agree with you on that. And to your point, you just gave a quick comment regarding why we should be so concerned about single-payer health care. And, Joe, there's going to be, I think, also here in Colorado, a movement towards that. Dr. Jill Vecchio, one of the other people who had actually read the complete Obamacare Affordable Health Care Act, she said that Obamacare has done exactly what it was meant to do, and that is to increase the cost of insurance, increase the deductible, so people are going, oh my gosh, we need to have a solution, and then in walks single-payer health care. But let's just see what happened to Jerry Holloman under basically single-payer health care. So it wasn't good.
Yeah, well, and while we're on the topic of the healthcare system, I have to tell you, it's gone up nearly 300% since 2008. 300%.
The cost of your healthcare.
While your deductible has gone down, deductible has gone up. The cost or the amount of care that you get per visit goes down. Right now they have I have Kaiser, right, and it takes me 3 to 4 weeks now to get an appointment. To 4 weeks.
Okay, so when government gets involved, this is Dr. Jill. She says the quality goes down, the cost goes up, and the supply becomes limited. And that's almost across the board. We're going to be out of time here. And Joe, I hope you'll come back. This has
Absolutely.
Been like a lot of fun. The other thing is the Second Amendment. And at our Stand for Colorado rally, we had two moms there. Lauren Boebert, she's the owner of Shooter's Grill Up and Rifle, 100 pounds, 5 foot, and they open carry there. And, one of the things about a firearm is it's the great equalizer between a 100-pound woman and a 250-pound intruder. And the idea that we would use government to take away, for example, the red flag law here in Colorado, to take away everyday, hardworking, law-abiding citizens' right to keep and bear arms is very troubling, and the right to protect themselves.
Yeah, I don't. It's a slippery slope, and they say that an armed society is a polite society. I would say that an armed society is a society that is safer, right? Mm-hmm. And that they want us to believe that the police are there to actually protect us. But if you go back, the Supreme Court ruling that actually happened here in Colorado, Gonzalez, I want to say it's Castle Rock versus Gonzalez, actually happened in Colorado,
okay.
Where the Supreme Court ruled that the police's job is actually not to protect you. Their job is not to protect you.
Really?
No, it is not to protect you.
Well, what did they say it is? What's the job supposed to be?
Their job is to basically enforce laws holistically across across society, right? To keep society as a whole safer, but not the individual safer.
Okay. Do you remember, you're probably not old enough, but I remember when many years ago police officers were referred to as peace officers. And now it's gone to law enforcement. And the problem with law enforcement is, what if you have laws that are not constitutional, that don't adhere to the vision of the Declaration of the Constitution? One other comment is that I'd seen something about and I'm going to run out of time here. I've seen something that the left, and we see this, and we're going to see this in this legislature again this year, is that they are going to try to tie the hands of law enforcement to do their job. So they don't like law enforcement. They don't like police officers. But yet they also say that only police officers should have firearms. It doesn't match up. Joe Otto, we've got a minute. What's your final thought on all this? And we're going to have you back.
Well, it's selective, right? They want to enforce laws selectively. Because if they want to enforce all laws, why wouldn't they enforce the immigration laws? We can start there.
Oh.
Right? So, you know, at one side, they talk out of both sides of the mouth. On the Second Amendment, you know, we want you to enforce this to take guns, take the rights away from average, everyday law-abiding citizens. On the other side, we said, hey, look, if you broke a law and you came into this country illegally, hey, the police department you can't actually do anything to that guy, right? You have to leave him alone. You have to let him out of jail. He was just arrested, and he's in jail. Don't call ICE. Don't call immigration enforcement. We don't want that to happen. We want you to let him go, put him back on the street, so we have someone that's living their life illegally here. But over here, we're willing to take away from law-abiding, tax-paying citizens the right to keep and bear arms.
Boy, on that note, we have to continue this conversation. Joe Otto, founder of Conservative Daily. Go to conservative-daily.com and sign up. All kinds of great information there. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, and our quote for today is Newt Rockne. He says, courage means being afraid to do something, but still doing it. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell